Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Jamie and Jillian are back from the Daytime Emmys, refreshed and ready to spill red carpet scoop. We'll weigh in on all the night's biggest winners and losers. We hope you enjoy, so stay tuned. Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
Jillian, welcome.
Hey.
And Mel, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Now, Jamie, when we did our Emmy prediction podcast, you pretended that Brittany Allen was going to win, and goddammit, she did.
Now, look at here. You ain't spent 4 years telling us about the advertisers and the listeners, and then you're going to use a GD at the beginning of the Emmy podcast.
What did you think?
Well, goddamn! No. I said this was this year's Drew Tyler Bell. There's always one that shocks you. You know, it's different when you're in there. It's not like you can, you know, sit there and be like, "Trick, what you're doing up there on that stage?" You know, I mean, it was her moment, and bless her heart, you know, but she was.
And it seems to happen in the younger categories more
often. Yeah, and that, to me, that speaks volumes. I said, you know, I think that once they get to those younger reels, people are like, I don't care about this. And, you know, Lexi got, you know, Lexi got robbed. And,
yeah.
You know, well, I step back because, you know, used to, you know, the younger category is what, you know, Heather Tom used to dominate, and Sarah Michelle Gellar won. So I guess in the later year, the recent years, it just became sort of a joke. But I handled it better than Nancy Lee Grand did, according to her tweets, because, you know, she said she got up and walked out.
Now, Mel, you were live blogging the Daytime Emmys at DaytimeConfidential.com. And you were plugging along, you had 160 comments, and then all of a sudden the comment count exploded and we were up to 200 and some comments.
I looked, it was like 140 comments before Brittany Allen won. After Brittany Allen won, 232. I'm like, what happened? Yeah, the readers spoke out about what happened. Lex Ainsworth was just robbed, and I don't understand. I just don't.
You know, shout out to Neville for Buzzworthy. You know, it was a quiet. Jamie had set the ambiance in that press room. It was everybody's all clicking away and talking. And the winner is Brittany Allen. Quiet. It was like quiet. It was like a cemetery quiet. And Neville comes up. You know, Neville is nice. Neville goes, so what the fuck just happened? I said, I don't know. But she ain't got to worry about me asking a question because I will be like, really? You don't think Lexi Ainsworth need that Emmy, girl? But it was really shocking. Really shocking. But, you know, we said on the podcast, this industry, we joked and said, oh, Brittany Allen, this is how this industry is. So, I mean, next year, who? They gonna give it to Zapato? I don't know.
Segundo.
Whatever. See?
Well, Maria might bring him back from the dead and give him a doppelganger. So, Zapato might be back. And look, and Gina Francis might bite his lip during the scene. So.
Okay, well, a few of the night's other big winners were Michael Park, who wasn't there to accept his award for lead actor. Laura Wright won for lead actress. Heather Tom won supporting actress. Jonathan Jackson won supporting actor. And Scott Clifton won younger actor. Jamie, which was the best for you?
Laura Wright. I mean... That was just, look, I got emotional.
Yes.
Jillian was worried I was going to start crying because I was so happy.
I was like, dude, really? Get out of here. Don't link.
I almost started crying too, Jamie. So.
Well, he made Laura Wright cry. How about that?
Yeah, I asked her Oprah question, you know, but I was so happy because, you know, I've been saying it all year long on Twitter. You know, it was a weird dichotomy that Vanessa Marcel coming back had to really show me that, me and Bob didn't have to be looking outside waiting for the Muse to come back, because General Hospital's Muse has been there since Laura Wright arrived.
Oh.
She has been amazing, amazing, amazing this past year, and she has deserved that award many times before, especially from her work on God and Light.
Uh-huh.
When Richard died, when she played Cassie. But it was just time. It was time and deserved. You know, a lot of times when it's like, oh, it's someone's time, they just give it to them just because. No, she deserved it. You know, she deserved it. You know, Susan Flannery had that big, you know, meaty story, but Laura Wright conveyed a mad as hell mother whose baby was fixing to go into the clink because of his stepbrother, half-brother, whatever brother from another mother, and she did it. She did the doggone thing in that reel, and she was amazing. In the press room, emotional. We talked about what it was like. You know, I asked her, I said, you know, 20 years ago when you debuted as Ali Rescott on Loving, did you ever expect you'd be here? And, you know, I'm going to post a response this week. She got a little weepy. Yeah, and she brought her kids. You know, it was just, I thought that was, for me, you know, a lot of people, we were debating the content of the Emmys and the quality on Twitter. And look, I'm not blind. I know that it was a Vegas infomercial, but I also know that they did what they had to do to get it on the air. Those Vegas parts paid for the lights to be on, and it also allowed us to get the chance to see Laura Wright win her daytime Emmy, and for me, that made it worth it.
I agree, because if I have to sit through a bunch of infomercials to watch Laura Wright and Scott Clifton give great acceptance speeches, I will. Jillian, Killer Miller lost out to Jonathan Jackson, but most people predicted that Jonathan Jackson would win. What did you think of his acceptance speech and his win?
As did I knew Jonathan was going to take that home. Well, I mean, you can't knock a man who praises Jesus 47,000 times. I'm sorry. I can't. I can't. What? I can't. I was like, you a brother? Because I'm like, is this the Source Award? I'm like, really? I'm like, check you out, dude. Look, I thought it was, speech was great. And as we said, you know, Jonathan comes in the back there. Whenever he's talking, he's very intense. I was scared to ask that cat a question, but I did. I asked him about, you know, since he's been back, Lucky's been getting heavy storylines. So is he, you know, does he want some lighter moments? And I'll post that response, you know, this week. You know how we do. But I'm glad that Jonathan won. I was glad. If it wasn't going to be him, I was hoping that it was Miller. So I'm glad that JJ got his due.
Yeah, JJ thanked the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I was, you know, it wasn't nobody in there for the question that. Unless they were going to turn into a pillar of salt in the press room. But no, he definitely deserved it. And, you know.
Mel, one of the people who I thought was robbed other than Lexi Ainsworth was Trisha Cast.
Yep.
Heather Tom won in the category. Did you think that Trisha Cast was wrong?
Absolutely. Got hit upside the head. They took everything from her. But I love Heather Tom. I love her. I love her, love her, love her. And I know she's an amazing actress. I watched her for years on The Young and the Restless. But I am sorry. This was Trisha Cast's award. It just was. Oh, she tore me apart. In those scenes where she thought her chance was, well, when Nina thought her chance was dead, I feel like Trisha should have won. It should have been Trisha's.
Heather, you know what? And they're both great actresses, but yeah, Trisha's reel was superior, but Heather had three soaps voting for her more than likely because, you know, she's got B&B, she was part of the clique on Y&R, and then, you know, she did time on One Life to Live and crossed over to All My Children. So she had a, you know, and Trisha's kind of been out of the industry a lot longer. So, you know.
But that's another reason she should have got it because
she was out
and came back in and was still.
Exactly. That's why critics really need to be involved in this process because, you know, I mean, yeah. We know the ones of us, and I don't mean just DC, I mean the whole critic body that covers this industry, we're the ones that know what these people do. And, you know, but with a lot of people, it might have just been, you know, Heather Tom was cool on the set when she crossed over to All My Children or whatever. You never know with this, because we do know it's a popularity contest. Now, that's not diminishing her award, because Heather Tom is a bona fide actress.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't feel her arguments with Dollar Bill were in any way comparable with...
Hell, Scott Clifton did better work opposite of Dollar Bill than she did.
Now you are thinking logically when you're like, she came back and showed acting. I'm like, girl, I done told you stop thinking logically. I know.
Yeah, we talked about that. I got her on the press, the red carpet, and if y'all could hear I was transcribing yesterday, and I squealed like a pig ready for slaughter, because when she came up, I was like, Trisha Cass! I'm like, I didn't do that for nobody.
Yes, you did.
Who did I do that for?
They didn't come up to you, but you did that when you saw Kristen Alfonso and Peter Rackley. You're like, that's a party boy! I was like, oh my Lord.
Interviewed them. That's my anybody from the 80s, If A. Martinez was on there, I might have jumped over the line. Trisha Cass, I was like, oh, Lord, my Nina. You know, and we talked about the old days back when Nina was a scheming little minx.
Well, speaking of the red carpet, I understand you guys had an opportunity to interview Melody Thomas Scott on the red carpet.
Yes, we did. La Diva herself was on that red carpet. Let me set the tone for you. So Michael Logan from TV Guide, you know, he's like, I'm going to bring Mel over here. And I'm like, yeah, right. He's like, I'm not bullshitting you. I'm like, okay. So, you know, it was like you just see a swarm of people at the beginning of the red carpet because we were right there. And he's like, he told me before, he joked, he said, if you see a sea of people, you know, that's Mel. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I saw a sea of people. You didn't see her. You saw an ad. So, like, he brings her over, and he's like, you know, these are my peeps. These are really huge fan of yours, you know. And he tells her, he's like, you better do them right, Mel. And she's like, oh, Logan. I'm like, tapping Jamie. I'm like, Jamie's too busy doing other things.
I was flirting. I ain't gonna lie. I was
on the red carpet.
Where'd you get your groove on the red carpet, look, Jamie?
It was a gentleman from Entertainment Tonight Canada, and I'm just gonna leave it at that. You can Google him if you won't believe me, Matt Babel, and you can see why I was distracted. MattBabel.
He's on our team. Anyway.
He is. Damn it.
So I'm tapping Jamie. I'm like, Jamie. So Melody winks at me, and she just playfully swats Jamie. Jamie looked like I'm glad it was her, because he looked like he was about to try to do work on me. And I'm like, we going to be tussling up in here. And he was like, what? And he goes, oh, my God, Melody! And we interview her about some things, you know. She was really nice, because it was like 10 minutes. They kept announcing she had to, you know, for everybody on the red carpet to take their seats. They're like, you know, it's 10 minutes. And the guy's like, ma'am, you have to go, it's 10 minutes. And she says, no. She said, I'm doing an interview with them. She's like, when they're done, I'm going to go inside. And I was like, work. After she interviewed with us, she went in. You know, it's all, I joke with Jamie, I'm like, damn, it's supposed to be Ed Scott night, but I'm sorry, it was all about Melody. People from Access Hollywood, Inside Edition, everybody was like, Melody, and Ed was a trooper. Ed was standing in the background, you know, like, you know, this is my ladies' night.
Well, Melody Thomas Scott, in addition to being a red carpet favorite, also led the topic of Melody Thomas Scott led to a little incident in the press room. Jamie, why don't you set the scene for us?
So, when Maria Arena Bell won for Best Writer, we got the chance. Daytime Confidential got the chance to interview her! Because, you know, she kind of handpicks who she interviews with. But anyway, you know, and this is the thing. Was happy about the win because I watched the reels. Even though Maria tried to trip me up with because when I brought up that they submitted... it was the end of Billy and Victoria's wedding, which also led into everyone finding out about Chance's death. And when I brought that up, I was like, that's what you submitted, you know, a very romantic And then sweeping, you know, sad. She was like, actually, we didn't. And she
looks
back
her eyes at James.
She looks back at her writers, and I'm like, you don't know what you submitted. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but yeah, that was Billy and Victor. The end of Billy and Victoria's wedding was on the real Maria. But anyway, so I'm like, I watched the reels. So, you know, but no. She was very pleasant. I mean, we did put her on the spot, you know. Jillian asked her first about Melody. I didn't, you know, that was her question. So Jillian asked her, what was the dealio with Melody? Because, you know, people want to know, especially people at Entertainment Weekly like Lynette Rice, who posted Jillian's response 15 seconds after she got it.
Didn't even do it right. I'm like, you ain't even stealing right. It's like you going into a bank for money, you come out with tissue. Didn't even do it right.
So, but yeah, she gave a PR answer. She's definitely coming back. She's one of our core snoring, lower, poor. I'm like, okay, you're saying all the right stuff, but, you know, but the thing of it is, it's not Maria's fault. You know, I give Maria hell. We give Maria hell. This is not Maria wants her back. Maria wants her on there. This is Sony. This is Sony bean counting. Now, I do feel it is Maria's fault in that she has got to balance. They need Frank Valentini on that show. I'm not saying they need to replace Maria because Maria has her strengths and weaknesses, but I think she's probably better for that show than she is worse. You know, in terms of totally getting rid of her, I think her role needs to be redefined. I don't think she is a good day-to-day showrunner because she's doing other stuff. She's on the red carpet. She's doing this and that. And I'm not going to diss her about that anymore, but I just don't feel, I feel like Maria needs to be the showrunner the same way Oprah does or Sarah Jessica Parker was on Sex and the City. Yeah, fine. She has the title. She comes to a couple of meetings. You know, she has her input, but they need a day-to-day person on that budget because Frank Valentini would have never let this happen to where you can't play your leading lady because you've overplayed her for her guarantee for the year, yet you steady bringing on everybody and their mama. See, Maria needs an EP with long-term experience running a production who can tell her, yeah, Maria, I know it would be good if we get Chaka Khan to play Sophia's mama, but we probably won't be able to pay Eric Braden next month. And then Maria could pout and go, damn. You know, but, you know, she needs somebody, with a realistic sense of a budget so that things like this don't keep happening.
That's why I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't want to keep it in, you know, this new year I'm gonna try my best to be nicer about all of the soaps that are on the air. That doesn't mean less critical, but I'm gonna stop just being hateful if I possibly can. Jesus Christ. But I mean, it's just, we don't say these critiques because we're being assholes. I mean, it's just the truth. It's kind of fucked up and crazy that you let your budget get so throwed that you can't play Melody. You know, I heard that it really, Sony was like, you can't play her for the rest of the year. Now, they're not going to do that because they know the fans would revolt, but they have exhausted her number of episodes for the year. Episode guarantees are par for the course with daytime. And, you know, you just have to be mindful of stuff like that. And I don't know.
That's why people are confused as to about the Jeannie Francis thing. That's why, you know, we're critical of it. I'm not hating on Jeannie getting a job. Jeannie, you know, get a job. That's more power to you if you get one in this industry, even though it's shrinking. It's the fact that we know damn well Jeannie Francis is not costing scale. Sony is saying, well, we can't afford Melody, but you can afford Jeannie. That's the part that we have a problem with.
And they're still bragging about going after AMC and One Life to Live writers. Because Jeannie, Maria told someone else that, you know, she's planning to absorb some of them. No. You need to get your cast together. You need to stop snatching and grabbing. And this is the thing I am going to go here about Maria. Maria, that's, you will wreck actors' careers when I've seen many actors that come on this show who were popular before they come to Y&R, and then fans are hating on them in my message boards because Maria cast them in a role they don't belong in, and then she tells a bad story with them to boot because she just is snatching and grabbing. She's at the grocery store shopping hungry. You know, you ain't never supposed to shop hungry because you'll get everything. You know, oh yeah, I want all this cereal. I want everybody, you know, but you don't have a story for them. You don't have a story for them. You snatch and grab. They languish for months. Stephen Nichols, Eden Riegel, Mara West. You cast them in roles that people are scratching their heads about. And then in the end, you have to write them off and people are, you know, it just ruins everything.
Their viability. Stop,
you know, stop snatching and grabbing and do what Ken Corday says he's going to do. I hope he tells the truth. And, you know, Maria needs to write down her top 15 characters on this show. Victor, Nikki, Ashley, Jack, Phyllis, you know, Nick, Kay, and Jill, and figure out what you're doing with them before you bring on a farmer man to sit on a farm with Sharon for 3 months. What the hell has this story even been about?
Jillian, Brad is always fun in the press room, from what I understand. What was he like?
Brad Bell, he's really cool. He seems like a really fun person to work with. You know, he just has this aura where he's just like, you know, all the writers and, you know, showrunners look like, you know, like they just want to get to the next thing. Like, yeah, we won this, but now onto the next thing. He just seems really cool. The cast was all excited, and he was just like, we gonna keep it moving. Like, he was really nice.
Mel, as the person who is live blogging it, I do have to ask, what did you think of Emmy fashion this year?
You know, there was a lot of little black dresses and kind of really simple gowns, not like the big, you know, fancy gowns that I'm really used to. Some people had great dresses, like Debbie Morgan's dress. Oh my God, the dress was gorgeous. I think it's my favorite dress of the night.
Saw it up close. She looked fab. Ooh, she was looking tough on that red carpet.
The dress was amazing. The color was beautiful. That dress. I loved it.
Someone who I thought looked amazing the entire weekend was Judy Evans, but her Emmy red carpet dress, the green thing with the peacock feathers on it, fantastic. She looked amazing. Jillian, who did you think about red carpet, or who did you like most on red carpet fashion?
Debbie Morgan was tough. Michelle Stafford was looking real fabouche on that red carpet. She was funny as hell. She was looking tough. Stephen Nichols. I told Jamie, this man is 60 and looked ferocious. I was like, God damn, like, what is he doing? He looks fabulous. Yeah, those were my top picks. You know who made fun of someone on the red? They mentioned the daytime Emmys on Fashion Police the other day, and they clowned Susan Lucci! Joan! Rivers clowned Susan Lucci. I was like, oh, Joan.
She should have clowned Ron Moss.
She should have clowned Peter Reckle. Yeah, I'm going to go there.
Peter Reckle. Those photos were...
I saw him. I was like,
he looked like he came straight from a biker bar, at least on television he did.
Well, yeah, in person he did too. He was like, let's shoot this shit. I was like, but he still looked hot. I was like, damn. It was still wrong. I'm like, you and these scarves. I thought Ron Moss got the scarf look on lock. And Aaron D. Spears. Aaron D. Spears looked like, give my money.
His heart. Baby had on this too tight
white outfit with white great gaiters. I was like,
you know who wore something like that a couple of years back? Was that Lil Brighton?
No.
Oh, Lord.
He came up there with that white suit on that year.
Jamie, who were your favorite red carpet fashion picks?
Well, my favorite, Casey Diedrich was my favorite dude. He just looked on point. He had on, you know, all black. Had a little skin showing up under his shirt. You know, he was, you know, saying, look, I'm not going to be the team boy forever. He was showing the little pimp. I'm gonna tell you that I thought Jonathan Jackson's wife, who used to be on GA,
Hannah
Lisa Volt. Her name ain't really Hannah. Lisa,
no, her character was Hannah.
But his wife ain't Hannah. Lisa Voltaggio. I thought she looked amazing. You know, and so, you know, so still sultry and sexy. I loved Kelly Monaco's little black dress. I thought it was cut to the T.
I told Reagan Laura Wright had to be my most improved one Emmys to the next because she looked fantastic this year, and last year she didn't.
Well, I'm going to tell you who, you know, my boy Andrew Kanakis, I had him do, and I'm going to post him this week. I had him do his favorites and worst, and he went in on that silly
grind. Oh, Andrew, no.
You know, and I will be honest, you know, I didn't know what Rebecca Budding had on. I love Rebecca Budding. And she came up to me on the red carpet, Luke, so I interviewed her. But I didn't really like what she had on. It looked like, you know, my grandmama got together a lot of her doilies and stitched something together.
Well,
and G.D. Cooper is, well, let's oh, just no, say, G.D. Cooper.
My ketchup.
She had a back suit pass. I told her to say, I'm like,
when you look at her, and what did I tell you? When you get to be 712 years old, you look. When I'm that age, I don't want no fabric touching me, so I can come up there in my drawers. You know, you get to wear what you want.
Well, all in all, it was an interesting Emmy weekend. The show itself, fans on the site were not too happy with the production of the show, I believe, when we asked them to grade it.
but, you know, and this is the thing. We'll never be happy again. It is, I'm not minimizing anyone's view, but what did we expect? This industry has killed four soaps. And five soaps, if you count Passions, which we must do, in the last few years. You know, it is a blessing from God that we even get daytime soaps mentioned in primetime anymore. It will never be what it was. It will never be what it was. Number one, Susan Lucci won the Emmy, so that took away all the buzz leading up to those old shows. It'll never be what it was. They have to do, those Vegas spots were paid for. It was basically an infomercial. Though, you know, they paid for getting to telecast the few daytime stars that won. It's goofy. It's, you know, I burst out laughing inappropriately at a couple of things. I'm not gonna lie. In the press room, I burst out laughing inappropriately at a couple of the charity parts, which not about the charity itself, but just the way it was kind of cut. But you know, it's a situation where we have to, you know, in my opinion, commend ATI for even getting it on the air, because, you know, CBS, ABC, and NBC abandoned this telecast 4 years ago. And ATI stepped in and saved it. And yeah, they had to use these, you know, parcel out the airtime, you know, advertising time by strategy. But hey, we still got to see Laura Wright win her award. And so for me, that made it worth it. I mean, I know I'm a hypocrite in saying this, but it's easy, because that's what we do here is play Monday morning quarterback. But it's easy to sit at home and be like, this is some, on Twitter, this is some bullshit. I would punch somebody in the nose. And the thing of it is, say it's awful, that's fine. But what got me is on Twitter, people, like Jim Romanovich tweeted something like, it's a nice day today. And somebody was like, I don't believe nothing you say anymore. You son of a bitch! I'm like, goddamn! The man put on a show you didn't like. Fine, but you act like you want to beat him up in an alleyway.
The Emmys used to come on for 3 hours. Now they're down to two. It's like, you can't. If they hadn't shown them, people would have bitched about that. So it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Jillian, I also want to ask you and Mel about a topic that came up in the on the blog and on Twitter, and that was the Oprah tribute. A lot of people were bemoaning it, and it was like, okay, first, she won't even show up. Then there was the Celine Dion thing and the various other performances. Did it come off as badly there as it did for those of us at home?
I couldn't pay attention to it because they were having people come in the back during the telecast. So, but as for the Oprah thing, let me tell you something. Oprah wasn't going to come. If Oprah would have come, I bet you the show would have been for 3 hours and they would have heavily. But it's not, you know, it wouldn't have been. What'd you say, Mel?
I said the show would have been 3 hours about Oprah. If
exactly.
She would have come.
They would have advertised it to hell. So it's called the Daytime Emmys, not the Oprah Awards. I knew she wasn't going to come. Someone was like, she's coming. I'm like, Oprah ain't coming. No.
She should have come, though. You know, I'm rarely critical of Mighty O, because I love Mighty O. But Oprah and Ellen and the women of The View and the women of The Talk need to have their funky behinds at this award. This, you know, that's part of the problem. The biggest stars in daytime don't come to support the award show that supports them. You know, Ellen's EP accepted for her. Dr. Oz was there, you know.
Oh. Well, and Regis and Kelly finally got a win with a tie.
You know, it's like, this is why it had to become, you know.
The Las Vegas Emmys?
Yeah, because these people won't even get up off their ass. Some stars do. But, you know, get up off your ass and come and make an appearance and help get some more buzz and the networks interested. But when they're all like, I ain't going, you know, it's like, we got to get Donnie and Marie to sing. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, I don't even know what Donnie and Marie sing.
I don't know either.
You know,
I'm
a little bit country. I'm a little bit country. They had to do what they had to do because, you know, Oprah is somewhere in Switzerland, some damn where. You know, come to the Emmys. Come back. Come back.
Well, I could see them doing the Celine thing. They're selling Vegas. They had all these people there who happened to have acts in Vegas. You know,
oh, I agree there. I just think that Celine comes off as one of the most wooden people ever.
Who?
Celine comes off as one of the most wooden people ever.
You mean just for that telecast or all the time for you?
Well, in that, a lot of times, in that telecast specifically, but in other interviews I've seen, she comes off as wooden.
Because that is one of the most popular heifers in the universe.
Oh, I know she's popular. I love her music, but when in her interviews, she can come off as wooden.
She's not in country. She ain't wooden. It's a language barrier.
I think she comes off wacky in interviews, especially when she used to be on Oprah. She used to come. I'd be like, I'm ain't right with her. She used to come off.
I thought she was not on something because I don't want to spread no rumor. But she
off something.
Like she had just taken a damn. Something to loosen her up. But no, and I heard this breaks my heart, but I heard Gladys wasn't at her peak. I didn't get to see it, but
it wasn't
She
sounded kind of hoarse or something.
She missed out on a couple of the high notes, I think.
Oh, no, no, no.
And they left her hanging there. Like, after she was done with the Oprah tribute and her big song, they left her hanging there for, like, a good 30, 45 seconds just standing there as they applauded. And it was like, Where am I supposed to go?
Because the Las Vegas package wasn't ready yet.
Exactly. It like they left her hanging out there like a piece of bait on a hook.
Well, Gladys is a diva. She's accepting them applause, so shut up.
Well, you know what? This is the thing for me, and I'm going to go here. Jillian knows this. Okay. And this is not about the child. This is not about what she's suffering for, because I have huge empathy for anyone suffering for something. But my big gripe was the clip with Susan Lucci.
No.
I'm going to go here because I feel there are other people out there like me. I'm sorry. When they had Susan Lucci ask this baby in her very Susan Lucci Erica Kane way, so what is it that you suffer with? And she said, I have a hump in my back. That's not funny. But she goes, Susan is doing her acting. You know, she's like, she's emoting, you know. And so she said, how was that like growing up? And she said, people called me a cannibal. And they froze in on Susan Lucci's face, looking like somebody just hit her in the face with a mallet with her reaction. She goes, oh! You know, she just,
oh my God, this asshole laughed. And I looked, everybody looked at Jamie, and I was like, it wasn't me, it's him. He's all ass.
Oh my South Park. You know, she goes, why would they say that? You know, usually when they do like St. Jude's or something, they don't talk about stuff like, well, I mean, I don't understand. Why would you ask, what did people call you? They called me a camel. I'm like, what is this? That was the only moment where I was like, what am I watching? You know?
See, I thought the Erica Kane thing with the different husbands was one of the most stilted parts of the show. It was just unbearable to watch.
I thought it was kind of cute. I mean, I thought that just made people mad. Sometimes people have to remember that not everybody puts daytime on the pedestal that we do. What people need to remember is that daytime soap operas are not as revered to the rest of the world as they are to us. And, you know, unfortunately, in prime time and in pop culture, they tend to spoof them a bit. And the actors in daytime do it and go along with it. I mean, they have some say in the clips that get used. I mean, there's a reason every time Susan does an Erica Kane interview on primetime, they show her fighting that damn bear. Now, we all know that Erica has had some amazing moments. Bianca, you know, coming out, her drug addiction, but
anorexia.
Yeah, in terms of the mainstream, they're going to talk about them weddings and that bear. We know that.
Yeah, they keep saying, you've been mad the most times. I'm like, isn't it between Nikki and somebody else? Somebody
from As the World Turns? No, it ain't Nikki, it's Lisa.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, as we wrap this episode up, is there something that we haven't covered that for each of you that stood out from the Emmy weekend or the Emmy telecast? Jamie, you go first.
Well, you already mentioned him, but I gotta say, I am always pleasantly surprised, especially when it, you know, it lines up with the submission, which in my opinion it did. I was very happy for Brad Bell again. BNB is one of those shows. Somebody, one of my peers, emailed me and they were, you know, said what I said in years past. It's like Brad Bell knows how to get an amazing reel when that's not what the show is all year long. And for once, I'm gonna say no. It was mostly the cancer story this year. Now, yeah, right now it's Horny Berries, but, you know, it was, you know, an amazing story, and I think he definitely deserved it, and he's such a trooper, and he, you know, he answers the questions without any attitude. He's you know, old-fashioned, old-school Hollywood good folks. And the one thing I will say about B&B, I don't think there's ever any arrogant or malicious intent when he's doing something that the fans might not like. I think he just is doing what he genuinely thinks is a good story and funny, and he's lighthearted with it. And I appreciate that. You know, it's not, he doesn't get up there and invoke his father's name 1,000 times. You have to bring up his father to Brad Bell. He's not up there, I am my father's protege, and which he is, you know, I ain't trying to be funny, but Maria invoked Bill Bell's name about 75 times. You know, like, baby, you're coming along, but, you know, stop with the I'm Bill Bell's protege, because that was really Kay Alden and Brad. But, you know, I like, it's just a different spirit, I think, and we probably helped, you know, like I said, I'm going to stop being so hard on Maria, but I think we helped create the monster when she saved the show, and we called her Auntie Riri and this and that, but she needs to get over the God complex and just get to back to the business of trying to put out a good show and, you know, lessen the ego a bit.
Jillian, what was your unmentioned highlight of the weekend?
Speaking to Shamar Moore. I was like,
Speaking of which, after you're done, Jillian, go ahead.
Oh my God, like, you know, let me tell y'all, Jamie is an ass. Jamie is, y'all know Jamie crazy, but it, to see it in person, it's a, it just takes it to another level. Like, you know, Jamie's like asking the chick with the mic, the PR person, he's like, so is Shamar coming back in? And they're like, she's like, no, Shamar not coming back in. The room turned on her. They were like, hiss, boo. So some other PR person was like, no, guys, he's not coming back here. He's just a presenter. Hey, Jamie, y'all brought Kimberly Batula back here, and she was upset. I said, oh, Lord, I hollered. And I'm like, that is true. You brought the man.
And they brought him back.
Yeah. He was like, by popular demand, Shamama. I'm like, Jamie, I got it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, because he was gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, Jillian goes, hi, Shema. I'm like, when Marilyn Monroe come back from the dead?
Look,
hi, Shema.
Was it like those shampoo commercials, Jamie?
Yes, she did.
Unlike you, I spoke to him. I had to, like, Melody the Thomas Scott had to punch you in your face to get you to around.
I should.
I can't show up. And he shut up.
To check your dress.
But he gave me a good quote. I asked him if he would come back to Wide Art. I'm like, damn, you are really nice people. That's all.
Jillian tried to make him diss the current Malcolm. He was.
I was a sample. He was like, no, you know, my boy Darius is doing a good job. I can't. I said, he could go on vacation or sabbatical. We'll be cool with that. He was like, no, you ain't gonna get me to do that. I'm like, whatever, we'll be cool with that.
Jamie, do you have any type of rebuttal to her?
No, as far as I say, you know, she talked about me flirting with Melody, but hi, Shema. Like, I wanted to start singing, touch me in the morning.
Flirt right back. Didn't he flirt right back? There you go.
Yeah, he did. Shamar was a G. He was like, how y'all doing? How y'all doing? Y'all got some questions for me? I was like, ooh.
He was like, excuse me, my voice is a little bad. He's like, do I sound bad? I said, no. He was like, hello, baby. I was like,
yeah, you would be. No, you don't sound bad at all.
He did, because he sounded
totally with Maria. It was, hey, Maria, get in here.
Here comes Shema. Hey, Shema.
Yeah, cause no, I got Maria like that too. I was like, hi, Maria, congratulations. She's all, thank you. And then I dropped that hammer. She looked like she wanted to chuck that Emmy at my head.
That was a good moment. The first question being about Melody, she was like, but no. Maria recovered well, though. I mean, she, you know, that's one thing. She's PR trained.
She's like, you asked her that question, she rolled her neck and cut her eye. I was like, ooh.
But, you know, it was a good Emmy. I'm glad they have come and gone, because it's always a whirlwind weekend and my body is still broke down. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mel, what was your unspoken highlight?
I think it's interesting that the Bell Soap swept the two tech categories that they actually announced at the Emmys, the writing and directing. And it was on CBS. I'm just saying, not saying anything else. But I just found that very interesting. Oh, can I give my 2 cents on the Las Vegas Emmys?
Yes.
Okay. Here's my 2 cents on the Las Vegas Emmys. As someone who has a film degree and is all about the entertainment industry.
Down, Star Jones. I have
it. Film, bitch.
Thank you. Thank you. I look around at all the other award shows, the Tonys, the Primetime Emmys, the Oscars, and everything else, and their shows are fantastic and glamorous, and production values are usually pretty much on point. And when it gets to daytime, I look at things, and to pay the bills, we have to put on basically an infomercial for Las Vegas. And it takes the focus and all the prestige out of the Emmys. So In my mind, the rest of my podcast co-hosts are like, you know what, if we have to do that to keep the show on, that's what we need to do, because I need to see Laura Wright win her award or things like that. And I kind of to the point where I feel a little bit differently, because if we have to do this and take all the focus and all the prestige out of the award show, then why have them at all? Like, I would kind of rather have something on the internet streaming online for an hour so we can at least give this genre the due it deserves.
And that's a valid point, definitely.
I don't know. That's just kind of where I am, because if I have to sit here for 2 hours and watch an infomercial about Las Vegas and watch 10 minutes probably all together of an actual award show about the people I care about that I grew up with, then I don't necessarily know if I want to watch it again. Because, I mean, if we're going to go there, look at the ratings this year. They were down 27% because people probably sat through 10 minutes of Las Vegas. You know what? Fuck this shit. I don't want to watch this. It's not what I came to see.
But
well,
I get what Mel's saying. It's you can balance the two. I get what you can,
exactly. There needs to be more balance, rather than even when presenting awards, like the first award of the night, Penn and Teller are up there doing a magic trick.
Very good one.
5 seconds of showing people's faces, and then they're continuing their magic trick. It's like, okay, well, why are we really here? Are we here to promote Las Vegas, or are we here to promote the daytime Emmys? Are we here to celebrate the actors? Because I feel like they're really the ones that are getting the short end of the stick here, because they bust their ass all year for these reels and these clips and having to deal with all the bullshit of daytime. And
they do, but you know what? Their networks won't pony up any money to do that. Their networks won't pony up, even CBS, they don't pony up any money. So Penn and Teller paid, you know, their producers paid a fee to share the advertising. I mean, you know,
you would really think that it would be, I thought they would have pimped the talk during this, but you could tell CBS doesn't care. But I get what you're saying. It could be
50%. They didn't even pimp the awards. You know, people like family members kept asking me, you know, because they every year they still think I'm going to be on TV. And I'm like, no, that was just once. But I'm like, they were like, I ain't seen no ads for it. I'm like, they started showing ads like the 24 hours before. Oh, yeah, be sure to watch the Emmys. But
it can be 50% Emmys, and it also could be 50% advertising. I get what you're saying.
It could be better done. I mean, that's the thing with me. It's like, if you have to do that, then, you know, because, I mean, it's like the old days of soaps where, you know, Erna Phillips radio soap there, you know, oh, my God, father might die. I might have to go shampoo my hair with Prell. You know, I mean, it wasn't seamless. It could have been more seamless. Like, you know, to me, you have Penn and Teller up there and they do a magic trick with Eric Braeden or something. Mm-hmm. At least.
Please. Someone go get it out.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Stay tuned after the music for your hotline calls. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Yes, just want to say happy about Laura Wright. She won Best Actress, and it was the best acceptance speech of the evening. We're so happy, and we love you, Laura. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Regarding the daytime Emmys, I thought that there was an awful lot of advertising for Las Vegas. I think it was really too much. I think that the last Emmy given out by Shamar Moore, I believe he really made a fool of himself by embarrassing Erica Kane, you know, Susan Lucci. And I think that it could have been much better. The people are wonderful there, the soap stars and the daytime people, but I think the show could have been better, and it has been better throughout the years. Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Tom and McCallan. I got to tell you, the daytime Emmy sucked. It was terrible. It was more like a, what do you call it, advertising for Las Vegas more than anything about daytime drama. They shoved all the daytime drama to the side. I couldn't believe Brittany Allen won Younger Leading Actress. It was horrible. It just felt like an insult. And then that whole montage to Susan Lucci, at the end when she was giving out the awards for lead actor and lead actress, that was just embarrassing. She played it like a pro, like she usually does, but it just, I mean, and it was a joke. I was really disappointed. I don't know. I was just real disappointed in it. And, oh, well, that's my beef. Have a great day. Bye.
Hey, guys. It's Epperidge, John. Yeah, the daytime Emmys just, no, they were not good. Outside of, like, some of the winners winning that I prefer, the show itself was horrible. I wanted to watch an award show, not a Vegas stage show. So hopefully next year they'll just put it on in the afternoon in place of the soaps for a day or something, and just invite the actors and the crew and the producers and the hosts and stuff, and just give out awards and not all this other crap. I mean, they need to watch the Indie Soap Awards that We Love Soaps did, or go back to something like the Soap Opera Digest Awards or something, because last night was tragic. Later.
Hi, DC gang. My name is Lisa. I'm calling from Utica, New York. I am L-Bug-10 in the forums, and I just wanted to say what a travesty the daytime Emmys were. Every year it gets worse and worse. I just can't even believe what I watched last night. That was a Vegas infomercial, a tribute to Oprah, who couldn't even be bothered to show up. I won't even, Brittany Allen as best supporting actress or best younger actress, whatever. That was just, I mean, a joke. I don't even know why they bother. Every year I get excited for the Emmys, and every year I'm disappointed. And you asked what grade to give, and I was going to be generous and give them a D, but I can't even do that. I'm happy Laura Wright won, and I'm happy Jonathan Jackson won, but the rest was just a complete and utter joke. I'd rather see them do a webcast, or just like somebody said, just give them the awards and do a press release. At least let the show the clips. There was no in memoriam, and let the actors have a speech without playing the music before they even get up on stage. It's just ridiculous. They practically threw the Emmy at Brad Bell. I'm not even a B&B fan, but come on. It was ridiculous. Keep doing what you're doing, guys. I love what you do. I love listening to your podcast. Take care.
I was terribly disappointed in the daytime Emmys. It was part Las Vegas video tourism promotion effort, and also a public service announcement for the Children's Miracle Network. I mean, you know, there's a place for these venues. I mean, and I guess I shouldn't be criticizing, of all people, John Snyder, because coincidentally, John Snyder and I still have something in common. We have the same kindergarten teacher who is still alive at the age of 93, believe it or not. But aside from that, I just received the CBS Daytime newsletter that promoted, obviously, the big wins for Bold and Beautiful and the acting awards for Scott Clifton and Heather Tom and so forth. But there was one name that was conspicuously absent from their PR little email blurb, and that was Michael Parks. Excuse me, As the World Turns was on the air on CBS for 54 years. And like it or not, Michael Parks won an Emmy for the calendar year of 2010, and he deserved to be in that public relations email announcement. I'm so ticked off, it's not funny, and this will probably be the last, and I know this will be the last, because I'm not watching any soaps now since As the World Turns was canceled. This will be the last Emmy Awards I will ever see. And that so-called tribute to Susan Lucci, she must have been cringing to that whole ordeal. It was not a tribute. You'd think you were watching a Dean Martin roast, you know, for those of you, of us, I should say, you know, who are old enough to remember in the 1970s and, you know, 60s with those sarcastic Dean Martin roasts that they used to air on NBC. It was ridiculous. It was not worthy of Susan Lucci, and it certainly was not worthy of the soap opera genre.
Hi, I just wanted to say that in regards to the 30th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards, we are all fans of daytime. If we're going to spend our time watching the daytime Emmys, maybe we want to see something about daytime and not Vegas. How about something as simple as seeing clips of some of the nominees and their performances? I mean, this is a award show. I mean, seriously. I mean, and then the whole 30 minute of honoring Oprah. I mean, I love Oprah, but come on now, 30 minutes? I mean, it could have been 15 and then use another 15 for the soap operas is going off the air, One Life to Live and All My Children. So I just think the show was ridiculous. It was all about Vegas. We do not want to see an award show about Vegas, okay? And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Crystal, and I just wanted to say a couple of comments about the winners for tonight's Daytime Emmy Awards. Just two, actually. One, I was ecstatic about both Laura Wright and Scott Clifton winning their Emmys. I think Laura Wright has just been under the radar for too long. She came in as Carly and made that character her own. I know a lot of people love them from Sarah Brown, but at this point, Laura Wright is Carly and is my favorite. For Scott Clifton, he turned in amazing work on GH, got ignored. He turned in amazing work on One Life to Live, got ignored. And finally, on Bold and the Beautiful as Liam, he got his just desserts, and I couldn't be more happy for him. I know a lot of people thought Chad was going to get it or wanted Chad to get it, but I'm not sure if he sent in the right reel for him to get acknowledged, but I think that he definitely could have the possibility of getting it next year. And I think the big one of the night was the Brittany Allen winning for Best Younger Actress. A lot of people said that Lexi Ainsworth was robbed, but I have to say that Emily O'Brien was robbed. Let's be honest. The GA storyline with the abuse, I know a lot of people said that her performance, you know, she knocked it out of the park. I thought it was okay. I didn't personally like the writing in that storyline. I thought that it made it took the focus off of her and her plight, her issues, and it put it too much on, like, Sonny, because, like, every other episode, he was talking about his mother and her abuse, and I'm like, aren't we talking about your daughter? But and then it was like the scene she was in, the line that she was doing about Ethan. It was like her character came off as a bit unlikable, which I thought was a problem. Like, she's supposed to be a victim, yet I couldn't stand the girl, and that was a problem for me. It kind of came off annoying, so I couldn't really root for her. And as for Brittany and Emily, I thought that Emily was the strongest out of everyone, and Brittany, I didn't watch her reel, so I can't really judge, but I just know I did watch the show her entire run, and that girl was as boring as a bag of hair. I don't know how she got that. But other than that, the show overall was pretty bad production-wise. And, yeah, there's nothing else to say about that. I felt like I was watching a commercial for Vegas. Not a fan. Bye.
Jesus, take the wheel. My Jamie Giddens made a joke about Brittany Allen winning an Emmy, and it came true. I'm sorry I'm speaking so slowly, but I had a stroke, and I don't know what happened after that announcement was made, so I'll have to listen to the podcast to find out who the other winners are post that award. Thank you.
Hi, this is Michael from St. Louis, Missouri, calling about the 38th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards. I gotta say, there were quite a few surprises in there that I don't think any of us expected. Supporting Actress category, Heather Tom winning was a real big surprise, considering that Trisha Cass was the odds-on favorite. Drama series writing, The Young and the Restless, are you kidding? It was really cool to see Bold and Beautiful and The Young and the Restless actually win the directing trophies. Younger actress Brittany Allen, oh my word, what universe were these voters on? I consider the lead actress category win by Laura Wright, a mild upset, considering that Colleen Zenk was the odds-on favorite to win, or the sentimental favorite to win. So, I'm glad I DVR'd it and kind of fast-forwarded through all the other stuff that was on that show. I didn't particularly watch it, the rest of it. Wayne Brady was horrible as a host. So that's pretty much it. Thank you.
Hey, this is Allie from The Rant Room. I just got done watching the Daytime Emmys, and I just want to say I'm so happy that Laura Wright and Jonathan Jackson both won. They definitely deserve the win. And also Scott Klessen, I am so happy that he won also. But the only thing that I didn't like, why was the Emmys centered around Oprah? I know that she, you know, retired or whatever the show left, but come on, it's the Daytime Emmys. It's about the soaps, not about Oprah. So, love you guys' show. Have a good night.
That Daytime Emmy show was a mess. Was a mess. It was like, you know, I can't even explain it. But it was a mess. And, you know, I love Oprah, but if she couldn't be there, I sure as heck wouldn't spend all that time honoring her. And I love Gladys Knight, but she sang lousy. And the highlight was the excitement of Laura Wright. It didn't even seem like the crowd was excited to be there or even happy for their own people. It was a mess from the time it started. So I don't know what to tell you. And I watch 5 soaps a day. Bye.
Hey, DC, this is Natalie from Minneapolis, a.k.a. Daisy Chain 7, just calling in about the Emmys tonight. Right now, I'm just struck with an overwhelming sense of sadness when I think about how painful, cringeworthy, embarrassing, and pathetic the Emmys were tonight. I never thought as a kid growing up watching these soap operas that I would reach that point where I'd say, you know what? No, you can keep them. Please just don't even air these Emmys anymore because they're that bad. You know, my friend and I, who she's also a General Hospital fan, were talking after the Emmys aired today, and we were just remembering the time when this was a big, splashy event, and there'd be those round tables, and there'd be champagne, and the entire cast of these shows would be there, and they'd actually show the real of the nominees as they were announcing them on stage. And, the entire spirit of these award shows is gone, and it's sad. It's just turned into Las Vegas tourism and Atlantis Resort and hawking every kind of crap imaginable from Murray Osmond's, I don't even know what the hell that was. I mean, I love the troops too, but that was completely jarring and out of place. To Viva Cialis or Elvis or I can't even stand it. It's just the really sad part is that this is the one night for us soap fans to feel like we matter and to feel like the genre that we love is being recognized. And really, these Daytime Emmys aren't even about the soaps anymore. And that's, I mean, it's just really, really sad, the only word I can think of. But on a positive note, I'm really happy that Jonathan Jackson, Laura Wright, and Scott Klessen all got Emmys. I thought they were very deserving. And I want to congratulate all the winners tonight, actually. It's unfortunate that One Life to Live couldn't be included at all in some of these categories. I think that's unfair, but that's kind of how the voting works sometimes. I think that Debbie Morgan looked absolutely gorgeous in that dress, and I loved that she really recognized the All My Children fans and appreciated them. That was really refreshing. So I thank you, DC, for giving us the opportunity to kind of you know, get this off our chest, get our thoughts out there, and I really look forward to hearing your podcast. Thank you. Hey, this is Natalie from Minneapolis calling back in. I just wanted to take a minute to thank the crew of DC for covering the Emmys for us so well. It's always entertaining, usually more entertaining than the awards, actually. And I think if anyone deserves a Shit to Sugar award, it should be Melody for sitting through the entire painful thing and keeping us updated, all with a really great sense of humor. So thank you, Melody, and I can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts on the podcast. Thanks.
I'm calling about last night's daytime Emmys. I just want to say the show was terrible. It was like a big infomercial for Las Vegas. You didn't get to see any soap stars or any show clips. It was a waste of time. Thank you.
I'm just calling to say that I really liked the Emmy show, but what I didn't like was that in the best outstanding lead actress, I didn't appreciate that Alicia Rinchu didn't win, because I thought she actually did an outstanding job portraying her character, and I was actually kind of annoyed that she didn't get the award. That's just what I wanted to say. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, I'm just calling to give you my opinion of last night's 2001 Daytime Emmy Awards. It was just horrible. It was an insult. And an interesting note, my husband, who really knows nothing about soaps, sat down to watch it with me. And as we were watching it, he kept asking me, now, is this real? Is this a joke? Is this? He thought maybe it was the Comedy Network. He couldn't believe that they made such an absolute travesty of soap operas. All it really was just advertising for the different resorts. It's sad, but you have to realize, people have to realize that giving the new genre of reality TV such a big ado and dissing soaps really is just what's wrong with our society. It's much better to watch a soap than to see New Jersey Housewives pulling their hair out. And last night's show was horrible, and it was very, very offensive. So I think you have a great website, and thank you for listening. Horrible, horrible, horrible Daytime Emmys. Bye-bye.
The Daytime Emmys was the worst ever. I DVR'd it, and I just went to Best Actress win and was very, very, very happy for Laura Wright. Well deserved. She should have been nominated years ago when she was on God and Light. I felt that her win was the best of the night. And other than that, I think they need to cut back on the daytime. Have a luncheon or something and have it during the daytime since all the shows are being canceled. And I'm very upset that the best show, One Life to Live, is not getting the recognition that it deserves. And hopefully I'm still crossing my fingers that someone would pick it up. Maybe it would be good for NBC to pick it up to go along with Days of Our Lives. Bye.
UGLY, this Daytime Emmys had no alibi. It was just ugly.
Hi, just finished watching the Daytime Emmys. Number four for Jonathan Jackson. Well, obviously that was the best news of the night. Love him. Laura Wright, very exciting first win. Disappointed in Brittany Allen winning Outstanding Supporting Actress. Was really pulling for Melissa Claire Egan, Nancy Grant, or Trisha Cass. Don't know what in the world was being thought there. The show was too many ads for Jabot Cosmetics. Too long for Oprah, who didn't even bother to show, and just too much overall, taking away from the clips and things. I'd rather see moments of the performances and longer time given to the speeches. You know, soap fans tune into these awards, and I felt that soap fans should have been the ones that got most of the airtime. So our soap should have been in the forefront. Shamar Moore, great touch. Loved seeing him pay tribute to his roots. Really cool. That's it. Thanks. Bye.
I'm calling about the Emmys last night. My reaction, I mean, with the exception of the performances and General Hospital and All My Children, I actually enjoyed the winners. I was very happy for The Bold and the Beautiful and YNR, too. but I am going to say two of the winners kind of shocked me to the core, and that's Brittany Allen for Younger Actress. I was shocked that she beat Lexi Ainsworth and Emily O'Brien. I wasn't expecting her to win, and Laura Wright winning Lead Actress. I wasn't expecting her to win Lead Actress either. So those were the two shocks that I'm trying to grasp to. But other than that, the other awards were pretty good. I'm happy. Hope next year will be like this year. Very, 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 very happy for CBS. So that really made my night. Thank you again. Have a great day.
That B&B won best for best storyline was such a bunch of shit, and the fact that Bell said that he was grateful to his Fab Four, doesn't he think he has other characters there that are much, much better than the Fab Four? His ratings are down in the toilet right now for his storyline, so why the hell did he win for best drama series and with those actors that he's got on there? He should have acknowledged all his character actors that really make B&B worth watching. He's lost so many readers, and now he's just lost another viewer.
This 38th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards, which is the worst thing I've ever seen. What a slap in the face, soap opera fans. They didn't even show any of the soaps in the audience, hardly. This was horrible. I hope CBS never has this again.